Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. Pastor Angelo presents a biblical diagnosis of the present age, revealing that the modern moral collapse mirrors the conditions of Noah's day and Lot's generation. Scripture reveals a world marked by corruption, violence, sexual perversion, materialism, and self-love. Conditions that inevitably lead to a societal breakdown and the rise of the Antichrist. Against this tumultuous world, believers need to anchor themselves to the unshakable kingdom of God, align with His priorities, and live purified lives as evidence of genuine hope in Christ's return. Now, let's join Pastor Angelo as he begins today's message.
Praise God. God is great and He is worthy to be praised. And this morning, everything you just heard are just bits and pieces of what's been through. But we'll go ahead and start with a message. And I pray that the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, will totally take control of my body, my soul, my spirit, and my tongue. And in everything that will be said, it will be directly from Him to everyone, starting with me. We can start with you have the outline and the title of the message. It would be about how God shakes a tumultuous world. You would ask, how's that happening? We start with our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on in earth as it is in heaven. The first thing we have to make our mind up, which is most importantly in our life, is that the kingdom of God should come on earth through Jesus Christ, the Son of Heavenly Father, who was sent down to earth to save the lost. As we already know, God loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whatsoever or whosoever believes in Him and receives Him as a personal Savior should not perish but have everlasting life. As we read in Revelation chapter 3 verse 20, I'm sure you will see the text on the screen, whatever you are, and those that are here. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, I will sup with him, and he with me. That means, what does that mean? That means we do not belong to the world anymore. Those that responded. It seems the world is falling apart. We're living in the last days. In our day and age, the will of our Heavenly Father is not done in earth as it is in heaven. Why? You would ask, why? Well, there is widespread confusion, general lack of order and predictability on a global scale, uncertainty, instability, conflict, anxiety or distress society across nations, as we know. We see evidence everywhere, and the situation is not getting better. It's unpredictable period we're living in. The education specialist in the system or with the system cannot control it. The scientists cannot control it. The politicians cannot control it. The question is, how to live and navigate in a world that is falling apart and more rapidly. The scripture describes characteristics in our world today where Jesus gave a picture of what it would be like in the last days, the present age in which we're living. Jesus' words are found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, and we will read just a verse now, or a couple of verses, but it's 26 through 30, and we'll get back to a couple other verses in a little bit. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of Son of Man. That's when Jesus is about to return. And then that was verse 26. And in verse 29, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and in brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in a day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, those are the days in which we're living today. In the days of Noah, the human race was infiltrated from the kingdom of Satan by evil angels. Every thought of man's heart was evil. As we find in Genesis chapter 6 verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. Third thing, the earth was filled with violence. We read in first verse in chapter 6, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Fourth thing is like, it was sexually perversion throughout those days. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because the Lord had said, Noah was just man and perfect in his generation and walked with God. I'll ask you, please, after the service is done, wherever you are, read the whole chapter of Genesis chapter 6, and you will understand how flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Now, also, I'll ask you to read a passage from Genesis chapter 19 from verse 1 through 11. You will find in the days of Lot where intentional, hostile, and evil homosexuality in Sodom. First part of verse 27 from Luke 17. We just read part of that. We read again the section between 26 and 20, in other words, first part of 27 and then verse 28. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage. And verse 28 says, likewise, also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. There was nothing wrong, if you really think about it, with those activities, except deeply involvement in them that they didn't even know what was coming upon them on earth. Next, there was materialism and carnality. We all understand what that is. It's same happening true today. Many, which is unfortunate, many of Christians are so taken up with materialism and carnality and not understanding, not being aware the judgments of God will soon be coming upon the nation and other nations everywhere. Such it was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, not ever shall be. We will find that in Matthew 24, verse 21. I just quoted that. And we continue in Matthew, and I'll read a verse from Matthew chapter 24, where he says, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows," Jesus said. You see, corruption of human character is already evident in our day and age. It is. As we would go now to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we will read from verses 1 through 5, as Apostle Paul, when reads this towards Timothy and tells him, "This know also, be certain, be assured, this is a certain thing, be assured, that in the last days, perilous times," perilous, in other passage in the scripture, it's characterized as fierce times, very fierce times, "shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despiser of those that are good, traitors," he continues on, "heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." And verse 5, "having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." From such, says Apostle Paul to Timothy, stay away. Turn away. It starts, you see, this whole passage that we just read, it starts with lovers of their own selves, and it ends with lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. What do you think? Self-love can cause a breakdown in traditional, for better or worse, marriage vows. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God sounds me, myself, and I, which not necessarily mean a total lack of belief, but that desire for self-satisfaction, like entertainment, luxury, personal comfort, exceeds the desire to serve or please God, the Creator and the Savior, those personal Savior. We're referring more to those that are Christians. It extends to the others as well. Then continues down the road with worldly desires over obedience, worship and devotion to God. It just continues down that road with the worldly desires. Another passage about the last days, which is being happening right before our eyes. We can look in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 25. It's comparing us as a New Testament believers with Israel when they received the law of Moses. It says, "See that you refuse not him that speaks." Who speaks? God, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, through the scripture. "See that you refuse not him that speaks. For if they escape not," who refused him that spoke on earth back in Israel time, "much more shall not we escape." Let's understand that. If we turn away from him that speaks from heaven, we shall not escape. Verse 26, "whose voice then shook the earth, But now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. This is what's going to happen. Believe it or not, it will happen. It's the word of God. And verse 27, in this world, this word, yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. They may remain, those things that cannot be shaken. God's purpose, this is what God's purpose is permitting a worldwide shaking of everything. What is why? To demonstrate the things that cannot be shaken. We talk about shaking now. You understand this world, this word shaking, because there was earthquakes and many people were afraid. And that has nothing to do with God. It's not even close to what's coming. Wherefore, verse 28, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God, yes, our God is enduring. But God, it says, verse 29, is a consuming fire. That's only one kingdom that cannot be shaken. It's not earthly kingdom, it's kingdom of God. It's the kingdom that is founded on Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you build on this foundation, which Jesus is the foundation, no storm will overthrow or will overthrow what you build. As we find these verses in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, we will read. Again, Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. You also have it in outline there. Therefore, whosoever hears these things, this saying of mine, and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26, everyone that hears this saying of mine and does them not. Let's pay attention to what he says. Does them not. Shall be likened unto a foolish man. What does a foolish man do? Builds his house upon the sand. And again, rain descends, flood comes, winds blow, and beats upon the house, and it falls. It falls. And great was that fall of it. See, everything else that can be shaken will be shaken. And most of it is being shaken. What are some of the things? Let's talk about it for a little bit. What are some of the things that can be shaken? Let's concentrate on this. First of all, we can start with the governments. The governments will be shaken. Can banks be shaken? Certainly some of the banks are being shaken. What about church denomination or denominations? Can they be shaken? It's being shaken to its foundation. Yes. What about families? Can families be shaken? They are being shaken. Yes, they are. The only families that will survive are those that are built on the rock, which is Jesus Christ, the Lord. Whosoever hear the saying of Jesus and does them will be like a wise man, which builds his house upon a rock and he never fails. Same of those that hear the saying of Jesus and does them not, it's like a foolish man. We read, and this is true, builds the house upon sand on the beach, which falls, and great will be the fall. We will not be exempt. Let's understand this. We will not be exempt from the shaking, but the result will be different in lives of those that are true believers, that cling to that personal Savior heaven and follow into Jesus' footsteps. We shall stand when everything else collapses all around us. We shall stand. And we need to trust the Lord. What He promises, He will bring to pass. First part of verse 7, we will move to Haggai. You see that in the outline. Chapter 2. Haggai chapter 2. Just first part of 7. The Lord says one thing, and I need us to, it hasn't been really said there in Hebrew 12, but He says here, I will shake all nations. All nations. There is no one that will be departing from the shake. Question. I love United States. I'm not going to say I don't. I do. Does that include the United States? Does that include nations of Europe? I am from one of the nations from Europe. God is going to shake all nations. Everything. Better be prepared. Everyone that is the sound of the voice, whatever you are now, I know you could be throughout many states, countries, whatever you are, they listen. Better be prepared. There is one kind of person who cannot be shaken. Because you may ask, what do we do now? If you remember, even the disciples one time asked Jesus, who can go to kingdom? Who can go to heaven? When Jesus was talking about the rich guy, like a camel into the needle of the eye. But whatever is not possible to man, it's possible to God. So there's one person, one kind of person who cannot be shaken. And first, let's look at first three verses of Psalm chapter 1. We will read this. It's very blessing to hear this again. As you probably know this, but we'll read. First three verses. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But let's underline this in our soul inside. Let's comprehend this. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. I'll repeat this. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. Question. Especially for you young people, those that are here and those that are everywhere, especially to you young people. Question. Who is your counsel? And that applies to everyone. But I address especially to young people. What is your thinking? What plans you have for your near future? You answer. There's also a person that is described that cannot be shaken. A very good person that cannot be shaken. In 1 John chapter 2, the epistle of John, 1 epistle of John chapter 2, we begin at verse 15 and we read two verses. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The present world system is in the world. The present world system is in the world. Apostle John says, do not love it. Young people especially, do not love the world. And then there is a serious statement here. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You see, you cannot have it both ways. It's already known in every aspect of life. We can have it both ways. You cannot have it both ways in the kingdom. You cannot love the world and love God. God's love is jealous love. We find that in Scripture and we need to understand that. He will not share your loyalty with the world. He will not share that. You have to make your mind up. Every single one that hears this, everyone that's present, everyone that's everywhere, need to make your mind up. I and you, we need to make our minds up. For all that is in the world, verse 16, we continue to verse 16 from the chapter 2, 1 of John. For all that is in the world, the lust of flesh and the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father. It is of the world. We started with the world is in tumultuous shake. It's a shake. And the world passes away. It's on its way out. And the last thereof on the way out. Please pay attention. Please pay attention. He that does the will of God abides forever. Repeat. But he that does, he or she, that does the will of God abides forever. The only unshakable person on earth is who is totally committed to the will of God. If you want to have a successful and good future, young ones included, in the today's world, commit yourself without reservation to the will of God in your life. If you so will, you will abide. If you do so, you will abide. You will be unshakable as the will of God itself, because you will be identified with God's will as the will of God itself, because you will be identified with God's will. Have the right priorities in place. Let's talk about priority just a couple of times, because there's two, first and second. I will just limit to this, but during time. The right priority in place, because your priority decides your life. We're living in that world. It's not good, but your priority will decide your life. The things that have top priority in your life are the things you find time for. That's what it is. Whatever priorities you have, that's where you find time for. As we read, let's just read Matthew chapter 6 verse 10. That's the prayer, and we started with that. But let's just read that sentence again. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. How do we understand that? The most important thing in your life and in my life should be that the kingdom of God come on earth through Jesus Christ. We're the ambassadors. Some people say, I can't find time for the Bible. I can't find. Oh, what about the things? You find time to eat, you eat. Whatever you give your time indicates what your priorities are. That's what it is. Whatever your time indicates, that's exactly what your priorities are. It's not wrong to eat. I'm not saying that. But let's just face the world today, because the Word of God, the Scripture, is more important than food. It is more important than food. Here is God's counsel on priorities. As from the same chapter 6 in Matthew, the last three verses, in Matthew chapter 3, it says, that will be, your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. We start with verse 32. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He knows you need all these things. But that's what he says. Seek ye the first kingdom of God. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. Therefore, no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient today unto the day is the evil thereof. That's what the scripture says. See, all of these things are all you need for daily life. You need food, you need clothing, housing, transportation, whatever it may be. God says, you'll seek my kingdom first. I'll take care of all your needs. I can recognize and have a strong testimony about this. All my life, he took care of my things. Even when I was weak and I was not exactly how it needed to be. But God is so great. But that's what we need to do. We need to seek the kingdom first. And he'll take care of all the other needs in our life. That's the first counsel. Get your priorities right. Get lined up with the will of God from today's forward. See, if you've never been confronted with this, start being confronted. Moving forward. Today. A second priority, and we're coming close to the message today, what the Holy Spirit is talking through my mouth. Second priority, I'd like you to turn to Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. And this is directly related to the first. Start reading. For the grace of God that brings salvation had appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar, a special people, if you like, zealous of good works. This is God's second priority, his own special people, his own special people. And it says in that passage that Jesus will purify his people. All right, you heard that. Jesus will purify his people. But now there's something as a second that comes on our part. We need to purify ourselves. Jesus purifies, but there's a part that we need to do. that you need to do, that I need to do. Purify ourselves. And another side of that, we can turn and we will read from Epistle of John, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. So turn to 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not. You need to understand this. The world knows us not. Because, why? Because he knew him not. He did not know Jesus. The world. This is the world. Beloved, verse 2. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it did not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, Jesus, for we shall see him as he is. We have not seen him, but we shall see him. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he, Jesus, is pure. God is pure. You see, this is our part. Jesus purifies his people, special people. You can call yourself, if you gave your life to Christ, call yourself a special one, a special person, whoever you are. Great. Jesus purifies. But there's your part. There's my part. There's our part. We need to purify ourselves. I need to purify myself. You need to purify yourself. Even as he, Jesus, is pure. See, everyone who has this hope in him purifies just as he is pure. Attention again, I say. You are waiting for the coming of the Lord. He's coming back. But if you are not purifying yourself, truth is, you're deceiving yourself. You're deceiving. Do not deceive yourself. Because you deceive yourself. If you're waiting for the coming back of the Lord and do not purify yourself, your part hasn't been done. And you deceive yourself. A true sign of all who are truly waiting for the coming of the Lord is that they are purifying themselves just as he is pure. Because God has only one standard of purity, and it's Jesus. That's the standard. So when we purify ourselves, when you purify yourself, the standard is Jesus. Now, everyone that's in a sound of the voice, and as you hear the message, and possibly you just came across to see this message or to hear the message, and maybe you don't have a lot that you can comprehend, that's because maybe you haven't received Jesus as your personal Savior. And if you have not received Jesus as your personal Savior, just hear me, please. There's a knock on your door of your heart right now. And when is that knock? He says, Jesus says, I stand at the door and I knock. And if any man hear my voice and opens, that's important. You can hear, but if you don't open, he will not come in. But he says, if anyone hears the knock and open the door, he promises, I will come in. I will come in. Praise our Savior. He says, I will come in. I will sup with him, whoever opens, and he with me. I ask you, stay put, stay tuned, because for about 10 minutes, after I say amen now, Pastor Charles Torrell will come and will just give you the definition and the recipe, if you like, biblical, of how you can just surrender and Just give your life to Christ today. Today is the day. Please do not procrastinate. Do not think of, I'll see about another day. Really quick, I want to tell you a story I'll remember and I never forgot. This is back. This is not in your outline, I should say. But back over 20 years ago, our pastor, where the church I was going, a Romanian pastor, back in the days when there was a big earthquake in Bucharest, in Romania. Bucharest is the capital, those that don't know, in Romania. Back in the 70s, it was a very, very heavy-duty earthquake. Before the earthquake, last Thursday, there was this lady that did not belong to Christ. It was not, didn't have a relationship with the Lord. But she came and kept hearing the preaching in the church. So this Thursday she came, and then someone asked, is it now? Because you said that you will. And she says, great, I want to. But you know what? I see around me, I like more, a lot of people. Sunday. When Sunday, I'll be here. I will just give my life to Christ. Friday night, she was gone in an earthquake. I ask you, whoever you are, it's not me to know what happened, but it's known. If one did not receive and did not leave or gave their life to Christ, cannot get to heaven, cannot be saved. Jesus is the only way. There's no other way. So please hear that, and may the Lord bless you, and thank you for being attentive and hearing what the Lord was saying through my mouth today. Amen.
Thank you, Angelo, for your prayers, your sermon. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now, Lord God, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, please help those people out there that are wanting to receive you as your Lord and Savior, Lord God, that you will come into them. Yes, Lord. Save them, Lord God. And that they will be able to have a new life written down in glory. Lord God, we just pray for that, for everybody that is not born again. Lord God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the King James Bible that tells the truth about everything in our lives. It has everything for us as Christians. We just receive that. We thank you for that. Lord God, we just ask you just to watch over each and every one of us and those out there that are born again, saved, and knowing that when they die, they're going to spend eternity with God in heaven. We just thank you for that too, Lord. We give you the honor and the praise and the glory for everything. And thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1, have you ever told a lie? 2, have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3, have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. it is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor Angelo Tina. This message was entitled, God Shakes a Tumultuous World. The modern moral collapse mirrors the conditions of Noah's day and Lot's generation. The world is characterized by infiltration from Satan's kingdom, pervasive evil in human thought, widespread violence, sexual corruption, aggressive homosexuality, and rampant materialism. These are not isolated behaviors, but symptoms of a deeper corruption of human character. Self-love is the root problem driving this depravity. That inward focus fractures families, erodes social order, dissolves respect for law, and ultimately prepares humanity for submission to the Antichrist. This is the predictable outcome of rejecting God's authority. Against this trembling world, believers need to anchor themselves to the unshakable kingdom of God, align with His priorities, and live purified lives as evidence of genuine hope in Christ's return, demonstrating the Christian faith is real, active, and transformative. The tumultuous shaking exposes what cannot stand and reveals what truly belongs to God. If you want to order a copy of this message, just reference RLJ2052. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.